This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting March 28th, 2007.
Go ahead and call the meeting to order. We have quorum, so the first thing we're going to do is approval of minutes. In your packet, you have your December 6th, 2006 minutes. Are there any corrections, questions, concerns? If not, can I get a motion to approve minutes?
I do move.
Okay, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
I'd like to suggest that for later we keep out everybody's draft minutes, the minutes for February 28th, only because if we get to the point of discussing the liaison to committees, the UA spent a good amount of time talking about that, and that section might be useful to us.
Good point. So when we get to that part of the agenda, make sure to have those minutes handy. Moving on to the next point, the February 28th minute.
Oh, we didn't pass them yet.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here we go. Any other questions, concerns, comments, changes people see that need to be made?
On page 7,
uh-huh.
I didn't think what I said in the last sentence, what I said is that, but it's also more dangerous for people in the community if somebody doesn't want to spend the money. Because without that word, the sentence is not logical, right?
Okay.
And also later, what I want to express is that it gives people economic incentive to visit since it's free.
Gives people an incentive to what now? Sorry.
Economic incentive to visit since it's free.
Okay.
I remember that time I made an example, but that's not shown in that, so I just say what my meaning, what do I want to express.
Okay.
I have a question on page 6 of the secretary. Towards the bottom third one up, it says that I think each person's requirements are three committees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where are you? On page 6, the third one up from the bottom. Okay. I definitely think that each person's requirements are three committees. Okay. I think I might have said three people were assigned to each committee. More along those lines, but definitely
not. Okay.
You
want
to just break
that whole thing?
Yeah.
Just more also. Another case, when I asked if we could invite Barbara Cross, and I remember somebody answered that she's not at Cornell now. But I forgot who answered.
Okay. The last page.
The last page. When I asked if we should invite Cross, I remember
probably general knowledge.
Oh, okay. I can't remember exactly, but somebody told me that
somebody told me earlier.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay.
Any other questions, concerns, changes? Seeing none, can I get a motion to accept the minutes as amended with those changes that need to be made? Motion, okay, second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you very much. Moving on to new business. The first thing is the letter that will be attached to President Gorton. Don't you guys have in your packet? What's a couple minutes to look over that? I know everyone had a chance to submit thoughts and questions and statements. They had a chance to submit statements. And the executive committee kind of tried to take all of those, put them together, make it flow, and send something to President Gorton that sounds nice. So.
I just wanted to add in, so it seems like the GPSA passed resolution.
I'm sorry, what?
The GPA.
The GPSA passed
a resolution about the campus code and about the EJC report, reporting what we did. So we should include that and make sure that goes in the letter.
Can you frame a sentence and put it in the right place?
Once we get a copy of it, yeah.
Yeah.
There's also going to be...
No, I don't mean to frame the... Once you get a copy of the report...
The resolution from the GPSA.
Ooh, we don't need that. We can just say the GPA, GPSA passed a resolution supporting the...
Would you want to include it with the...
You wanted to include the...
As well.
Oh, okay.
Also, the SA will be introducing a similar resolution at tomorrow's meeting. Hopefully, it'll get voted on tomorrow, although there's a potential it might wait until the following week.
I'll kind of move it forward. Very nice. I'll let you know after the meeting. Okay. All right. Does anyone else see anything they'd like to comment on about the letter? Do we want to mention those two, or let's put it this way? The GPSA has already fait accompli, just we need the...
Mm-hmm.
So we could say in the letter a sentence saying we've attached a, you know...
A resolution or support.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody put that in.
Right.
But the other thing is, as far as the essay is concerned, what's the mechanism for making sure that we will get the information and we'll get a, because we'll want to cite it if that's also...
Right, well, it's on the agenda for tomorrow, but I'm not entirely sure we'll get to it. That was my only concern. I'm going to try to move it up to business of the day instead of new business so that hopefully we can vote on it. And if we do vote on it, then I'll email the executive committee and just let them know, and I'll forward you a copy of the resolution when I email you. So that you'll have a copy of that. And hopefully we'll get to it if we move it forward, although I can't say 100%.
On this letter, could we simply say supporting materials with resolutions from X and Y will be attached?
Okay.
Will be forthcoming, and then we could move ahead with this.
Do you want to put that in the body letter or underneath the supporting letters?
I don't know.
In the first sentence, it could say, we, the Cornell University Assembly, along with the GPSA and SA, or with the support of the GPSA,
mm-hmm.
and then have attachments.
Okay. So we will take care of that and forward this on to President Gordon with those changes.
All right.
Any other suggestions for the letter, like email the emergency?
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next item. The committee liaison discussion. Something we kind of brought up when we kicked around our last executive committee meeting. And I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And that is, of course, reflected in your February 28th meeting minutes. And we kind of talked about putting together an ad hoc committee to look at which committees are still relevant to the university assembly and making those actual changes. So if committees need to be taken out of the charter or taken off of our purview, we could go ahead and do that. And if we can, it's cleaning up the language and figuring out what we need to do, what we don't need to do with committees. So we want to start that discussion and see if anyone was, who wanted to get involved with that. So,
question. These are the committees that we discussed a couple of meetings ago, like transportation and health center and all this sort of stuff. So our intent is to keep those and activate them, and that's not removing them from the charter.
Right, but there's
still that.
Right, there are some that haven't met and might miss. There probably needs to be an overall cleaning up of what committees are doing what. And just like anybody, you know, there needs to be a review of what your organization is doing every so often. I think that hasn't happened for the UA in some time.
All right, can you write a list of the committees right on the board?
I can try.
The reason I'm asking this, and this is my thought, I think, Dan, you weren't here a couple of weeks ago when we just talked about this, and one of the points that's brought up was the Transportation Committee hasn't met for a long time, and then we just said, well, you know, we're starting up. And so if we have a list of all the committees, we can decide right now. We don't have to talk about charter revision or anything of that sort, and we also don't have to talk about staffing with liaisons every committee. We can just decide which committees we want to think about becoming more active in, and or retaining our activity in them, or reinitiating, I don't know how to put it, but and then we can right here now maybe think about who wants to do get into one committee or another, and those that we don't want to get involved in, we don't have to take any stand on at this point. Because revising the charter we've just determined is a major undertaking, and we don't want to let that stand in the way of our becoming involved in committees that we think would be profitable and useful, good community service for us to be a part of now.
Right.
Also, furthermore, Tammy and I, and the rest of the executive committee, had discussed putting together a resolution a few years ago. The Office of Assemblies helped organize getting the chairs or like leading members of all these committees together, and they met with them at the beginning of the year, and it's been each semester. So then we were going to write a resolution and to charge the, I guess, to have the Office of Assemblies get that together for next year by like the September meeting, so that we could start making sure all this happens again. Do people think that's a good idea if we were to have something like that, or should we not?
So we have two different possibilities. We have the one of just getting involved in certain committees right now, and we have the other of taking a broader assessment beginning of next year when we'll have time in the, you know, through the semester and through the next academic year to seriously consider whether we want to drop some from the charter and how we would go about that. So both, in other words, that would mean that
they
would do that. The other thing to keep in mind is what Elizabeth suggested, which is the what was it, fire alarm versus
the police patrol.
And we may well decide right now that there's some committees we want to put on fire alarm status, other committees we want to do police patrol with, and others we don't even want to get involved with at all. In other words, there would be three different categories we're talking about now. At this point, but we don't have to even think that yet. I think we can wait until fall for that kind of determination.
Jules, do you have our supplemental request that we sent to you?
Yes.
Okay. Ari, you're still going.
Red out of blue ink. That's why I read it back.
So, okay, folks, looking at those. Which ones? Code and judicial, campus planning. Now, campus planning, you're saying, is active, right?
Yes.
But
they
not with us.
Reported to you.
Right.
But they've been very active.
Well, I think if I can give this meeting a little, this point a little direction. We have a list of the committees here. I think what will be very, very helpful to the UA, because it's very easy for a discussion like this to get into. I think they're doing this. I think that was a year ago. No, that was 2 years ago. What about this guy? I know someone who said this committee did something. Why don't we, if you're interested in helping with this, let's put together a group of like three or four people, ad hoc committee, which can study this and come back and report to us.
In April.
In April, yes. And that's kind of committed to find out what these committees are doing and they're doing what and things like that. So if you're very interested in this, that would be great. That would be very, very helpful. But I think that will keep this moving in a direction.
For the Transportation Committee?
Okay.
With the prayer meetings, we can reintroduce people, give us their issues, and with the second meeting, that might actually be able to pass and get those calls. Because we can't wait till next year. I mean, some of the problems we have on this campus is that transportation policy can move without us, without the University Assembly, without advice And there's been some good transportation policy down there, so it's an absolute freak disaster. Because they haven't had the input of the greater community, and I don't think we
maybe
need
to put it in front of you.
So, is there some of the support people here that can help me with following me for those 2 days?
411.
411.
Those are Wednesdays?
Those are Wednesdays.
You can put it later
if
you wanted to.
Well, that would be very nice. Could you
go
on Friday, or Monday?
27th after?
Or maybe Monday.
Just Monday is a better week.
23.
23.
So the 11th and 23. Help me round up who's on, and we can get them reactivated.
That would be great.
Because we just need to go, and I've been out of the country already.
So getting back to ad hoc committee, are there two or three people who are really interested in maybe digging into this a little bit more, kind of going through the history, find out what happened? Are there committees out there meeting? Has some of the committee structures been changed and they're just not reporting back to the UA, finding out what's going on? Rodney, and maybe one more person is interested in doing it? Okay. And your name? I'm sorry.
Bob.
Okay. Great. So maybe after this, the three of you can get together, find a time, maybe appoint a lead person on that, and report back to the UA, kind of working with Ari and Amy, and report back to us. Because that will be very helpful to the UA for next year.
Elizabeth also said she'd be interested in doing that at the meeting.
Yeah.
She said she'd be happy to serve in that committee. So you can contact her. She just couldn't be here, as she said to us.
Okay.
Can I ask? That's great. That's the sort of second mission. The first one would be to ask if there are any committees here now. Codes and Judicial is fully staffed. We have a liaison. But what about campus planning? Is anybody interested in becoming a liaison? Why should we wait for another month when we could have somebody actually pursuing at least making contact with campus planning committee and finding out what's going on?
I think my suggestion would be, and this is of course up to the body, would be to let this group work first and find out what's out there and what's going on before we just start.
Well, in the unique case of campus planning, it's been active. They've met several times this semester. I'm sure they have plenty to report, and the university planner has said she would be happy to present on the master plan to the university assembly. So I do think for that one case, it would make sense that somebody who's interested in planning that goes and meets.
If we could get a master plan presentation at April, it's nice organizational, right?
We will be meeting before the next April meeting, so I can hook you up with their website and all that.
Who could be the liaison to the campus planning committee on the UA?
Is anyone who loves planning?
Has anybody worked in Stockton Hall?
I would just say that this is absolutely a critical time for campus planning, because you've got the master plan that is underway, and the campus planning committee has actually been working alongside the campus master plan working group, so they've been involved in various things, some of the discussions. So if you have any interest in the long-term direction for the institution, how to ensure the governance system is similar, this is the next 6 months would be the most critical as far as the master plan is concerned.
The next month doesn't look good for me.
Well, but
I mean, if Elizabeth wants to do the ad hoc, you could do this.
All right. Yeah. All right.
See, if we have a liaison and could make the contact, then
I have to find out for somebody.
That's right.
I don't understand.
Okay. So, Tammy.
There you go. All right. Well, great. Well, Tammy, Rodney, and Bob will look forward to next committee meeting, or next UA meeting, getting you guys on the agenda and hearing back a little information about what you found.
Well, and what about
There's two things. There's campus planning and then
there's
Bob's
on campus.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
hearing about campus planning.
Right. Who else is with? It's me.
You're just the liaison.
Okay.
right.
And as long as I'm alone, I don't have
what
to.
You could do, what you could do, we could have a report at next April's meeting.
Yeah, yeah. Right, I'm right. Right.
But not by him, but by the campus planner.
Yeah. I'll invite him.
You can make the connection.
Yeah,
so
I'll go to a meeting.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, that's all we have on the agenda under new business. Moving on to open discussion. Anyone has any announcements or anything? I know there was one announcement that, once again, people wanted to reiterate their thanks to the CJC for all the wonderful work and all the hard work that they did on the code. So, once again, thank you very much.
I'll communicate that to them. And we have gotten a letter from the president also expressing his thanks. I should say that. That is the CJC members.
Also, there are some people who are wondering about this recent dog abuse case and how it would have affected the campus code as it is now versus the Krause report. And interested in hearing our feedback about it. No one ever thought about it. Okay. Basically what happened was there was a student who abused their dog, and it was done off campus, and then the way the code is now is that only exceptionally grave off campus situations are taken under the code. So versus the Krause report, where there's the off campus jurisdiction. So people have been kind of wondering about that. There was an editorial about it in the Daily Sun 2 days ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
People were wondering about the UA's perspective.
Well, do you want to speak about individual cases? Do you want to have a position in the UA on an individual case?
I don't know, just people.
No, not you personally, but I'm asking that's a question to be answered, whether the UA takes stands about individual issues like that. Yeah.
We're not investigated.
So then the next question is you know, what you would say back to the folks who ask you to have one.
Marty. It actually came from our office, because this is sort of a practical case that could be applied to, for instance, how the code now would punish this person or JA them or however, as versus how the Krause report would discipline this person. I guess we're just looking so that if we're asked, we can sort of give the difference between what it is now and what it would be later.
Oh, okay.
We're not looking for you to take a stand on the whole case. That's not what we're
looking. Yeah, I think this is, this points to one of the tricky, funny things about universities and colleges to take upon themselves to have judicial authority. Other than things that disinterest the part of the university. But I think probably the clearest and probably the fairest policy would be for if somebody has been accused of something off campus and it's being investigated, there's indictments and whatnot in the real grown up world out here, then we should defer to that until that's resolved. I mean, although Cornell pretends to be kind of a private university, really is public in many regards and has taken on the roles of a state type of thing. When they do police power, they do exercise police powers, they do exercise. I think we need to minimize the duplication of that as much as possible. So if somebody's done something sort of on campus that the general judicial system has taken care of, I think Cornell ought to back off to resolve.
Would you temporarily suspend the student while that was resolved? Not take final action, but temporarily suspend?
I think that's difficult. I don't have answers to everything, but I do think it's a area fraught in that, I mean, you can have different scenarios where they go through, they get plead guilty or they get convicted. Does Cornell need to go through and do that again? On the other hand, if they are acquitted, is Cornell going to take action against a person who's been acquitted by a much, a judicial system with much better resources and authority than anything Cornell could come up with? It's a puzzle. And
you know, I don't know. I understand that that problem too. I mean, if you've got an accused murderer out on bail, do they attend classes or not? And I guess it has to depend on how Cornell comes down on the American system of innocent until proven guilty. And you know that's and you know balanced with protection of their own staff, students, and everybody else. I don't have all the solutions. I do think that. You know, I don't think we can supersede civil authorities when something like that happens. And, you know, that's the danger of looking at one particular case. There are many cases where civil authorities accuse somebody of doing something they didn't do. We want to kick them off campus. We want to be right. We want to know ahead of time whether, you know, we're right or not. We can't. So, I think it's a big problem. I would favor deferring to civil authorities in serious cases.
Bob, to your point? Just the point that doing this one case as a standalone, I'm uncomfortable with that because certainly there's a lot of cases preceding it, and I just don't know what that field looks like.
Yeah. Sure.
And that's all.
Amy, I think the answer to the question is that under the current code, it like only deals with like the gravest situations, which in my understanding is like rape and murder and things along those lines. I don't know if animal abuse falls under the areas of gravest of off-campus circumstances, the way it's like written right now. So in terms of the Krause report, if that were passed as the way it is, then it would be dealt with.
Oh, I don't know that. Do you know that? I don't think the Krause report says animal abuse is one of the violations. In fact, it doesn't. It allows the dean of students' office, or at least the office of student conduct, to make a determination.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean...
Well, I'm just saying in terms of off-campus jurisdiction, then it could potentially come under the JA.
Sure.
I think you're right, Ruth. Under the current code, it has to rise to the level of serious criminal conduct. And that's a matter of judgment on the part of the president. It's not been codified what falls into serious grave misconduct and what doesn't. So the current code could apply or it could not apply depending upon how the recommendation is made to the president. On this case, Bob, or any matter off campus, I'm not talking about the case in particular, but any case off campus, there's an opportunity to engage the code if there is information brought to the president's attention and he asks. And typically, we so seldom do that, but when that is happening in the past, it has been the case that the individual has been temporarily suspended, not taking permanent action, but temporarily suspended while investigation is done and while the court documents are kicked out. I think in the Krause report, it certainly extends the reach of the campus code more generally to off campus. She, if I remember correctly, is not particular in what activities off campus would be included. And, is it violations, misdemeanors, and felonies? Is it only felonies? Is off campus in the neighborhood? Is off campus around the world? And that's where my reading of what the TJC has come down to say, gee, this is a really complicated question, and maybe saying, it's not that we don't ever do it, but maybe saying have it rise to the president is right, but maybe we ought to explore a little bit more about what we might include, and that's what you called upon for further consideration.
Right.
We might be able to get rid of most of the quasi-double jeopardy aspects of Cornell having a judicial system parallel to the system. At least we could resolve or conclude that if the outside civil authorities found that someone that charges were without merit, that Cornell would not also pursue. I don't think there are any circumstances under which Cornell would do that. But if somebody was accused of vandalism or something under this, whether it's on or off campus, by civil authorities, they would probably these charges are unfounded. We would not want Cornell to have the authority to go to decide that. Well, we really think he did, and then go over there and try to supersede civil findings that, civil or criminal findings that the person was innocent, or that the chances were unfounded and weren't invitable. That, I think, would take huge pressure off if people are concerned about double jeopardy. At least we knew Cornell was never going to go after people who had been either found innocent or charges found to be without basis by outside authorities. That, I think that would take like 7/8 of it out if we had the resolutions to have.
Okay,
there's a passage in the...
real quick, do you want to wrap these up pretty quickly? I know there are a couple more comments out there.
Okay.
But do you want to say that? But then I don't want to get too much into a philosophical debate on...
Well, let me tell you, it's very helpful, I'm sure, to the Codes and Judicial Committee if the UA, which is going to be, filtering through any recommendations in the next, stage of things, should the President be happy with us proceeding along those lines, to know that the UA is starting to think about this, because the UA is the body that's going to enact the legislation, any proposals that we make. And just like in the debate about hazing, the UA is the one who does it. So I don't think it's right to say, this is not... It was brought to the attention of the UA, and the UA, maybe you're thinking this is enough of an attention. I would say if everybody in the UA thinks it's enough that they've got it and they want to start thinking about it, that's great. If, on the other hand, we need to keep going and discuss it a little longer, that's reasonable. Not necessarily the particular case, but the intricacies of this, as Susan Murphy just laid out for us. I wanted to read this section from the Krauss report, proposed student disciplinary system. When a student or university registered organization is found responsible for violations of the code of conduct, the appropriate decision maker, in this case, it would be in the Office of Student Conduct, will consider all of the relevant facts and circumstances and will determine in the decision maker's discretion what sanctions to impose. Without intending to limit the decision maker's ultimate discretion, certain types of conduct code violations are so fundamentally inconsistent with Cornell's educational mission that absent unusual mitigating factors, a sanction of dismissal or substantial suspension ordinarily will be imposed. Such violations include acts of violence, including sexual violence, violations that are motivated by bias on race, gender, sexual orientation, national origin, disability, or any other protected category, or any other violation that directly and substantially threatens the university's educational mission or health or safety of university community members. So, you want to think about that, not because you've already said you don't want to do this, or at least you're affirming the CJC's right, but the CJC is going to have to consider this because it's going to have to come up with similar criteria if it goes the route of more strongly defining what constitutes actions by the President. And in this regard, I can bring up a case elsewhere. That's a Duke. That is the rape case, where the President actually took actions to suspend students and to decertify, and the coach lost his job. Now, I'm not going to judge that case. I don't know much about it, but it certainly, has its this is and that's from what we've learned. Two cases against two of the students have been dropped, by the civil authorities. Now the question is, did the President do the right thing to invoke the sanctions on students against whom cases were dropped because it was thought to have been, that they were not guilty of the offense? I'm not making a plea that rape cases should be treated lightly, please. All I'm saying is that these are the kinds of things that you have to think about when you are considering what the CJC is going to have to be deliberating upon. And if you have any ideas about it, thoughtful ideas, this is the time to start, developing them and writing about them and thinking about them, because you're going to have to pass on them next year.
And Jim, if I just might say one other thing to Dan, because I think Dan's given a very interesting question. Does he address in the Krauss report, and it's alluded to in the CJC as well, there are different levels of guilt. Clear and convincing evidence, preponderance of evidence, violation of an educational mission. And I'm not saying one is better than the other, but they're different between our criminal and our civil judicial system, one clear and convincing, one preponderance. And while we do take on some state functions, I agree with you, we are fundamentally a private institution. So some might say the opportunity or the privilege to be a student here may be consistent with the educational mission. And there may be things that don't meet a clear and convincing evidence for conviction in a criminal case, but clearly are in such violation of the principles of an educational institution that you might find yourself wanting to do different action. You might decide you don't want to do different action, that you want them completely aligned, and that becomes another part of the deliberations that CJC is going to have to entertain.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, just to get you thinking about, not to, at this point, advocate one or the other.
But Cornell's not going to, if the jury or prosecutor or grand jury has found that charges of merit, is, you know, if it is Cornell going to go in and change that decision because they have a lower threshold of proof? I don't think that we want to get into that. Now, there may be an entirely different thing. The main thing with the Duke case, they're talking from the rape with, you know, very serious charges. They may have been guilty of, I don't know. But certainly going out and getting wasted as a team representing the university, totally separate issue from the whole thing. May not have been illegal on the outside, but I would think that it would probably violate some university standards. But it's a totally different issue. And that might be something that a JA will be have jurisdiction over, is do we want our teams out wasted in the streets? That's not consistent with an educational mission. But to second guess whatever the outcome is of the criminal courts because we have a lower standard of proof, no way. I don't think we want to get involved in that at all. So, you know, if there's been like serious vandalism and the person charges vandalism by the city attorney and they find it's without merit, or the grand jury finds it's not indictable, or a jury doesn't convict them, I don't want to see Cornell coming back saying, hey, we really do think they spray painted this. We can't have that. But if there's some, I mean, I don't know that there's some kind of city ordinance against, you know, cheating on the test or you know, skipping out of the pipes for us. But I mean, there. If it's a completely different type of offense, you need to be having membership in the university, whether it's public or private. Okay. But the second guess, the criminal justice system, which is has to take precedent. I don't think we can do that.
Well, it's been very helpful. I don't know. But these are things.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of question that's going to have to be
parsed out. Any other thoughts, announcements? Moving on to another topic. Seeing none, we have no more business. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Oh, hold it. If we have no motion, listen, hold it now. This is not fair. I want to ask about this discussion, folks. I mean, how many of you are on the seat on the UA next year?
Is it something interesting? Do you want to send it to CJC, perhaps?
What?
Do you want to have CJC look at this?
Oh, it's going to. Okay. It has to. I mean, well, let's put it this way. If the president decides that this is the process that he would like to follow as well, because he has the right to go to the trustees and change the process and take it out of our hands, but if he decides that he's willing to go this way, the CJC says it will do that. That's what's in the report. All I'm saying is that how many of you are on the UA next year? Only two or three of you. Oh, well, four. No, maybe a few more. Oh, okay.
Our seats are up. We don't know for sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, whoever comes on, and you guys who will probably be on, this is what we're going to have to talk about. So it's good. Terrific. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, citing from the Krauss report, that's only students being talked about.
Right.
And then you have the whole other thing, the non-work related off-campus activities by employees.
Right.
Like having a drug party somewhere or something. I mean, is that something that the JA now would consider? I think, I don't know, civil authorities might consider it. But over and above what they could, it's the same thing parallel, but I don't think students, it's not work related.
In theory, Bob, that could rise to serious grades of conduct.
Right.
In my 12 years of being vice president, I have never known of a case that was not student related that invokes the president's ability to get involved in an off-campus case.
Yeah, and then there are also university vehicles or university structures that are in Geneva.
And there we have. We've had cases in Rome and cases in New York. But they've been in New York, in Cornell-affiliated, or Cornell-owned Haven building.
Right.
So they are covered by the campus code.
They are covered by the campus
code. Because they are university.
And the cost report doesn't address those at all. Because
well, only in the sense that it addresses everything.
Yeah, that's all. For all well,
it's
in the very beginning.
More than campus. No. The report says everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
there are all kinds of interesting. What, for example, if you had somebody photographing illicitly, you know, in an apartment, and that person was an employee, but had an apartment, you know, that he was renting to people and was photographing illicitly the people. Now, does that become JA-able? And the person, affect his work.
Yeah, that's child pornography and that type of thing.
Cases
like that, a lot of it was done on campus in the Yale case.
Right.
We had a landlord case 2 years ago where we had a camera, and that could easily have been a Cornell employee who owned that building and ran the cameras. It could be a non-Cornell.
At which point the JA would become involved.
Could.
It wouldn't be impossible.
It would not be impossible.
Jewel?
I think we could spend a lot of time going through cases, well, like, what if this happened or what if this happened or something like that. It makes sense that, like, people come up with these, I think, unique situations to maybe, like, ask a couple other members of the UI or maybe email the CJC, but, like, it's just, like, I think we could spend, like, extreme amount of time right now to say, like, well, what if this happened or in this case, what was, like...
Well, we're not doing what ifs. What we're talking about is the bigger principles, and we're giving examples because what if... is things that people actually do see happening, and it's in the papers. What if this fellow who abused the dog, class of 06, had actually graduated, a few months ago, but still was here, and so his name was associated with Cornell. He happens to perhaps be still registered, so that's all that matters. Is that something Cornell still has jurisdiction over? Some codes allow that to be the case. That you, even after you graduate, if you're in the vicinity. So, basta. I understand you.
There's another way to think about, I guess before the discussion, providing this up too, is that there are types of behaviors which are unacceptable to the Cornell community, which are not illegal on the outside. That might be the jurisdiction of our judicial system. But if there are types of conduct, sexual misconduct, public drunkenness, whatever, that is a crime everywhere, then maybe that should be turned over to the civil authorities. One of the things, the flip side of this we haven't considered is a number of college campuses, including this one, rightly or wrongly, are sometimes accused of shielding their students against the civil authority. There have been times in the past where young men have been shielded against laws against sexual misconduct by the judicial systems of college campuses. And, they go on, they walk away clean from stuff that would have put they would have been put in jail for had they not been protected by the university. I hope Cornell never did that. But we could shield ourselves from those types of resentments, which do exist in Ithaca, whether they're justified or not, by dividing this by, okay, the violation is a violation of a statutory crime, send it downtown. If it's a violation of our educational mission or particular concerns of the Cornell campus that isn't really a crime, but can get you kicked out of school, and maybe we should claim that as our jurisdiction. Make the division there, not the boundary of the university, but the boundaries of statuated law, and that might be the most useful. Then it doesn't matter where you are. If you are lying in Cornell's name and you're in California, you should be called to account on it with our judicial administrator. But if you are drunk driving in front of campus, it shouldn't be a JA, which it should be downtown. That's another way to define that.
Okay. The other announcement. Any other thing on campus? Seeing none, can I get a motion to adjourn? Motion. Second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Nay. We'll see you guys on the 25th. Thank you.
Actually, the way that that's the point is, like, you know, I think you're underage.
We'll have fun.
Jules, you are going to be sending me the resolution by the student assembly?
No.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
She's sending to all of us. And the graduate student one is coming.
We're getting from Jen. I'll email her and remind her again today.
Who's putting the letter together? Who's putting it together with the report? Who's putting the report together with the...
I am? I don't know if we haven't talked about that.
We have one.
Doing a final letter.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.